Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and I'll be your host for this edition of the pod. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball related from Sunday, July 5th. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league, kicking things off with the bad news, as we have just one IL placement as starting pitcher Brandon Woodruff landed on the 15-day IL with shoulder inflammation. This is Woodruff's second time dealing with a similar arm injury, just general hurting in his arm. And the last time he was sidelined with some inflammation in his arm, Woodruff missed 6 weeks. So we probably won't see him for at least a couple of weeks. That's guaranteed because of the IL placement, but we'll see how he feels after the All-Star break. We could be without Brandon Woodruff for a few more weeks. Reliever Drew Rom was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move, but we could see Robert Gasser called back up from the minors to replace Woodruff in the rotation. In terms of transactions, starting pitcher Brandon Beck was optioned to the minors after starting on Saturday for the Yankees. That was a spot start for the right-hander, and reliever Angel Chivilli was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. And lastly, starting pitcher Sean Sullivan was optioned to the minors by the Rockies after starting on Saturday and pitching to an 8.87 ERA in five starts in his rookie year. Reliever TJ Shook was recalled from the minors in a corresponding move. And in terms of news, reliever Evan Phillips is expected to be activated from the 60-day IL today. He's missed the entire season and half of last year, recovering from Tommy John surgery, which he underwent last June. Phillips should be a key member of the Dodgers' high-leverage relievers moving forward. And lastly, starting pitcher Martin Perez is expected to be placed on the 15-day IL. The injury has not yet been diagnosed, but he was struck by a comebacker in his left forearm. So I'm sure it's going to be something like a forearm contusion. Martin Perez headed to the IL. Now we can take a look at some notable performances from Sunday, a day in which we had a full slate of 15 games. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with outfielder Heriberto Hernandez, who helped the Marlins to win in Sacramento, going 3-for-4 with 2 runs, 2 home runs, 2 RBIs, and 2 walks for good measure. He's up to 11 homers on the year now. The first one went 437 feet at 102 miles per hour, and the second one went 422 feet at 105 miles per hour. We talked about Hernandez about a month ago after his last multi-homer game, and he produced another one on Sunday to surpass 2025's home run total of 10. He's now at 9. Hernandez has seen his WRC plus drop 10 points though, but that's due to an 80 point drop in BABIP that has led to a 30 point drop in batting average. So Hernandez has been very unlucky on balls in play this year, and I think overall he's been better last year despite what his WRC plus says. His underlying metrics believe he should be doing better as well, and with better batted ball luck moving forward, his results will more likely reflect the improved level that he's reached. However, Hernandez's playing time is still limited. The Marlins tend to start Heriberto Hernandez only versus left-handed pitchers in a left field platoon, and there doesn't seem to be any inclination that role is going to change anytime soon. So limit your expectations of Hernandez and treat him as a streamer in daily leagues against left-handed pitchers. Now we'll take a look at outfielder Tristan Peters, who helped the White Sox to a win in Cleveland, going 2-for-4 with a run, a home run, and an RBI. It was his fifth home run of the year, and it traveled 376 feet at 103 miles per hour. Peters is a fun story. He was a Savannah banana before getting a chance in pro ball, and now has been one of the best players on the White Sox in his rookie year. He's more of a hit tool and glove guy than anything else, batting 295 with a strikeout rate below 18%, but he has just 5 homers and 5 steals. He doesn't hit the ball particularly hard, and that could be what prevents Peters from maintaining this pace next year or even the rest of this year. But for now, he's seeing a ton of playing time due to his great outfield glove, and the White Sox trust him in their lineup. I think he's even batted leadoff before, but don't trust me on that. Regardless, because of his limited profile without the power and speed that makes him a target in fantasy, as well as his limited playing time because he won't see time against left-handed starters, he's not a must roster in all but AL-only leagues. For now, it's worth mentioning Peter's performance, as he's a fun story. He deserves recognition on one of the rare days that he goes deep. Lastly, we have outfielder Drew Gilbert, who did all he could, but the Giants lost in Colorado. He went 4-for-4 with a run, a double, a home run, and 3 runs batted in. It was his fourth homer of the year, and it traveled 410 feet at 96 miles per hour. Gilbert hasn't seen everyday playing time this year, being limited against left-handed pitchers, even when he's the club's primary center fielder. But he has made most of his at-bats count, and he boosted his numbers in Colorado on Sunday. Gilbert hasn't done much this year to prove he's ready for more playing time than he's gotten, though. He's batting .243 with a .714 OPS and a .99 WRC plus, which is an improvement over last year, but it's not the huge step forward you wanted to see from him in a sophomore campaign that gets you excited about him being a quasi everyday player moving forward. Gilbert also struggles to hit the ball hard or in the air to find more power, and he ultimately looks like he might be limited as an offensive performer throughout his career. With other Giants shining right now in the outfield, expect Gilbert to ride the bench more often than not. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Sunday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out some notable starting pitching performances, opening with Aaron Nola, who did all he could, but the Phillies lost in Kansas City. He tossed 7 innings, allowing 7 hits and 3 runs, walking nobody while striking out 7. He induced 19 whiffs with 33% CSW across 98 pitches, and Nola earned the gallows pole as he led baseball with those 19 whiffs on Sunday. And it's so hard to make sense of Nola. He's always underperforming his ERA estimators, but this year's been different. He'll have a handful of terrible starts, then mix in one like this, where he throws a little bit harder and avoids damage on his heaters, allowing his curve and changeup to cook. In this one, 4 seamers and sinkers found 68% strikes and only allowed 3 hits, while nobody touched his secondaries as changeups and curveballs combined for 17 whiffs and 44% CSW. Given Nola's 5.87 ERA on the year and his propensity to revert back to not being good after dominant starts, as well as his tough upcoming schedule, I think we have to keep avoiding Aaron Nola for now. Next, we have Joe Ryan, who helped the Twins to win in the Bronx, tossing 7 shutout innings, allowing just 3 hits and 1 walk while striking out 9. He induced 17 whiffs with 38% CSW across 106 pitches, and Ryan earned the King Cole by leading baseball with that 38% CSW. He's been one of the most reliable arms this year, making 19 starts and racking up strikeouts. He's tied for 7th. In baseball with 122 strikeouts this year. Ryan sat a tick up in this one, making his already elite heater even better as it induced 6 whiffs and 37% CSW, while he got plenty of support from splitters and sweepers, combining for 8 whiffs and 38% CSW. The fastball from Joe Ryan is good enough by itself, but when he finds secondary support, he excels. Lastly, we have Eury Pérez, who helped the Marlins to win in Sacramento, tossing 7 perfect innings while striking out 8. He induced 12 whiffs with 23% CSW across 92 pitches. And as I mentioned, Pérez was perfect through 7 frames, but the Marlins disappointingly didn't want to push him further than that, and they nearly paid the price as they were barely able to hang on to their lead against the A's. It's hard to say that Pérez was on top of his game, though, when his non-forcing fastball pitches combined for just 55% strikes and he went just 23% overall CSW. That means he was super efficient on balls in play. And if you're doing the math at home, Pérez went 13 for 13 on outs on balls in play. Obviously, that luck's not going to last forever. And I don't expect it to dominate like this next time without improving his command overall. He has some of the best stuff in the game, which allows him to have nights like these. But Pérez will be frustratingly inconsistent as he battles himself attempting to locate pitches where he wants them. I'm still going to start Pérez versus the Guardians next regardless, but that's definitely something to keep an eye on, and that's why he hasn't been dominant this year. 3.84 ERA, 1.10 WHIP is very solid, but we know that he's had plenty of very frustrating starts to work with. He's got a ceiling that is as high as anybody's, though, because of his impressive stuff. That's Eury Pérez. And if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Sunday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out Nick's daily SP roundup over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the bullpen and check out their relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves, starting with the former. Jordan Romano recorded his 5th save with a scoreless 9th. He's currently on the Rockies. Devin Williams worked around 3 hits and a run for his 13th save. Emilio Pagan worked around a run for his 7th save. Sean Newcomb had a hitless 5-out save, his 3rd of the year. Jacob Webb had a scoreless 2-inning save, his 3rd of the year. Alex Lang recorded his 8th save with a perfect 9th. Josh Hader pitched a hitless 9th for his 9th save. Kenley Jansen recorded his 10th save with a perfect 9th. Trevor Megill recorded his 13th save with a hitless ninth. Mason Miller recorded his 22nd save, which ties him for the National League lead with a perfect ninth. And lastly, Aroldis Chapman worked around a solo shot for his 18th save. And in terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Gregory Soto allowed a run pitching the 7th and 8th to earn his 5th win. Yoandrés Gómez allowed a run pitching the 9th up by 6. Cade Smith pitched a perfect 9th down by 1. Elvis Alvarado allowed a run while pitching the 9th trailing by 3. Pete Fairbanks allowed 3 runs, 2 of which were earned while he pitched the 9th up by 4. His save chance was ruined by a Marlins 9th inning insurance run. And lastly, Andrés Muñoz pitched a scoreless 9th up by 4 after the Mariners tacked on an insurance run in the 8th to ruin his save chance. But if you'd like more information on relief pitchers, check out Rick Graham's daily articles over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. Now we'll look forward to Monday, July 6th, the day in which we'll have just 8 games on the slate. My matchup of the day is Cam Schlittler versus Griffin Jacks. We got an interdivision matchup. Schlittler has been awesome this year. Griffin Jacks is still stretching out. He's got a real test here against the Yankees. I'm excited to see both of these guys get a chance to pitch on Monday. In terms of probable starters, we've got 3 guys in the auto starts tier, including Schlittler. We've also got Christopher Sanchez in Kansas City and Kevin Gausman in San Francisco. Our probably starts tier has 2 guys, and our questionable starts tier has 4, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Eric Lauer versus the Rockies. You got a great win chance here. Rocky Road, Lauer has a very easy matchup against him. He's somebody that can do well when he's facing a lineup as weak as this one. And with the Dodgers backing him up, you've got a great chance at a quality start and a win. I'd also keep an eye out for Dustin May versus the Brewers. He's been terrible in his last 2 starts, but I still believe in Dustin May's stuff. Overall, he had a great floor before these past 2 starts. He showed a great ceiling as well with some double-digit strikeout games. And I think Dustin May is going to do solid against the Brewers here on Monday. In terms of hitter suggestions, I target Astros and Nationals hitters in Nationals Park, as we'll see Mike Burrows square off against Miles Mikolas. Burrows has a 5.58 ERA, and Mikolas has a 5.44 ERA. I'd also target Dodgers hitters versus Kyle Freeland in Dodger Stadium. Freeland has a 7.25 ERA on the season. And now we can close things out with our relievers to watch. Josh Hader has pitched on back-to-back days, but so has Brian King. So expect one of Brian Abreu or Eniel De Los Santos to get a shot at a save for the Astros on Monday. And lastly, Mason Miller has pitched on back-to-back days, and Adrian Morejon threw 38 pitches yesterday. So I guess Bradley Rodriguez would be the top option for the Padres. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to the Discord and to support the Pitcher List staff. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler, where I do daily SP streamers and I break down every single start via the Pitcher List stats player cards. Tune into YouTube tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast, and make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.